Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Bob Kinzel, co-host of Vermont Edition. Just wanted to let you know that this has been edited for brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. People who plan to ice fish this month should take heed. Recent warm weather has led to rapidly deteriorating ice conditions on Vermont's lakes and ponds. The Vermont Department of Fish and Wildlife sent out its annual reminder recently that ice fishing shanties need to be removed from the ice by the end of this month, or when ice conditions are really bad. But on many lakes and ponds, they need to be off much sooner than the end of the month, and it's not always clear whether the ice is stable or not just by looking at the surface of a lake. People who recreate on the ice should be paying special attention to what might be happening on and under the ice they're playing on. Here to give us more information is Chief Game Warden Colonel Jason Batchelder. Colonel Batchelder, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Jane. It's great to be here.
So I was out yesterday in my Addison County town and noticing that there were still people hanging out on the ice on the lake in our town. No more shanties on the lake, but still a lot of people. And it seemed like really warm weather. But that's not necessarily a problem for ice, just in and of itself, one day of spring weather. So how do people start to learn about when ice might be stable or unstable in the spring?
Sure. The folks that are out there the most tend to have the easiest time, I would say. It's an experiential learning process. So if you're considering going out on the ice for the first time this late in the year, some of the stuff that you have to consider is that it's being deteriorated from above and below, like you mentioned. It's the sun, and it's the surface water that's coming in from the inlet points that's deteriorating it from below and just eating away at it constantly. If folks are interested in going out, I'll mention it in case I forget at the end. Give your local game warden a call. You can just Google Vermont game warden contacts, and you can find your local warden's cell phone number or their home number. Just give them a shout and ask. But if you're going out and you do have some experience and maybe a level of preparedness that allows you to go out, you know, always bring a set of hand spikes. Bring a well-charged cell phone and I like to carry an ice chisel or a spud to sort of walk my way out and test as I go ahead. I also have an auger, of course, because I like to fish. This time of the year, it's so wonderful to be out and so warm. But people have to recognize that at some point it becomes a game of chance, and it's not a game you wanna play.
Does your local warden know about all the lakes and ponds in the area? I mean, if I call them up, and are they going to be able to say, oh, yeah, that one's good, but the one just, you know, a couple miles down, maybe not so great right now?
Yes, they will. Yeah, we have 31 game wardens in the field now, and they're intimately familiar with their lakes and ponds. If there's a high mountain area and they didn't know about it, it wouldn't shock me, but they're areas with the heaviest traffic. They certainly visit often, and they'll know very well what's going on there.
If you're hanging out on the ice, walking out, and you've got your hand spikes, but you've got them in your backpack, might not be as useful. I mean, it must be hard to carry all the equipment you need and to be able to have everything ready for you. I mean, you can fall through the ice and still manage to get things out, but you've got to be pretty clear thinking to do something once you're in an emergency situation.
Yeah, you do. And if you ever buy a set of hand spikes, it will be there'll be instructions, but they do come with a lanyard that you can hang around, you know, the outside of your hood or your jacket, or run them through your sleeves. They come with a string, and so they're easy to carry around and just kind of let them dangle there. That's what the wardens like to do, because if they're in your backpack, it can be troublesome to get them out. The only time I did go through when I was working, I was able to just put my hands out and I think part of my gun belt actually caught me, and roll back up onto the ice. But if it's a situation where you need those, you're going to want them at the ready.
Yeah, that must have been an alarming moment, but I suppose your training also keeps you a little bit clear-headed. Some other Vermonters might have gun belts that could catch them too. You never know.
That's true. You never know.
So what is it about the snow melt causing, you know, ice to deteriorate from both above and below? Can you talk about how the conditions are deteriorating underneath the ice, not where we can see it?
Sure. If you imagine, you know, our river systems and our our surface water systems that all feed in some manner or another feed a lot of our lakes and ponds, not all of them. But even the ones that are spring fed, you know, everything is just warming up gradually. You know, with these 60 degree days, the rivers are swelling and they're grabbing their water from warmer areas, and that water just pushes up under the ice and it starts to raise that lake level. And as the sun is beating down from on top of it, it's melting that snow away, and so the ice takes on this gray color. And people mention that it honeycombs or candles as well. It takes on these individual little pieces as opposed to a big slab, and it loses its ability to hold weight. And it can even happen while people are out there. I fished on Saturday in a Northeast Kingdom lake where there was 20 inches of ice, and the ice was creaking and groaning as if it were making ice. And I'm sure it probably was. It was frigid when I was out there, which it will do. It'll creak and groan when it's making ice. But as the day wore on, you could tell that the ice started to shift and that you were sinking in maybe a half an inch into the surface, whereas before it was glare ice. And so, yeah, that process takes a very short time once we get these warm days. And if you add a little bit of rain in there, which we've had a tiny bit of, but not like we expect this time of the year, it can be just a matter of days and it's all gone.
But I don't do any ice fishing, but I've heard that March is actually a great time for ice fishing if you can be on ice that's stable. So, you know, is this a good time for people who want to be ice fishing and maybe who are experienced enough to be able to have some sense of the lake or pond that they're on?
Yeah, it really is. And that can be the tough thing for folks. You know, the panfish and some other fish are making their move towards shallower water, and they congregate and pre-spawn and post-spawn. They can be really susceptible to harvest. And you know, bear in mind that these are species of least conservation need. We're not talking about anything that there's a detriment to their population when we find them spawning. But people target these areas where there's a pre-spawn for yellow perch and pumpkin seed and crappie and fish like that. They get together, and so they're easy to catch. And so it can be very tempting to push it to the last minute. But it's always good to remember that those fish are usually there right after ice out as well, and they can be accessed if you just give it a week or two. They can be accessed via open water if the lake or pond's laws allow that.
And doesn't trout season open on April 10th? So, you know, if your ice fishing season is done, you can start doing other fishing pretty soon.
Yeah. You know, if you look around, there's always some place in Vermont that you can fish. If you're looking for fish to eat or if you just need to get out there, there's always something.
Colonel Jason Batchelder is Chief Game Warden with the Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department. Colonel Batchelder, thank you very much for talking about ice with us.
Oh, you're so welcome, Jane. Have a great day.
You too.